This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to here over the next 3.5 hours. I have a couple of guests stop by the program. Part one of my three-part sit-down with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. We'll play part one of that for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Got the chance to talk with Logan via the phone for about 45 minutes to an hour. We dished on any and everything relating to the Washington Commanders and their pivotal 2025 offseason. If you've been listening to me on The Fan since the end of the regular season, or excuse me, since the end of the season, rather, for the Washington Commanders, you understand that while, yes, I'm excited, I'm happy, we made it to the NFC Championship game, we've got the game's most important position on lock for the next 5 to 10 years, despite all of that, this is, to me, and I'll say it to start every show this offseason, this, to me, is still the most pivotal offseason of this rebuild. It's about striking while the iron is hot. If you are Adam Peters and company, Lance Newmark, the scouts, what are you going to do to ensure that this football team isn't just a flash in the pan? What are you going to do to ensure that this football team is not a one-year wonder? What we all crave here in the DMV, and fans of the Commanders throughout the country. And as you all showed this year, the way you traveled to road games, you're around the country as well. It's not just in the DMV. I think what the entire fan base craves to a man is a sustained winner. That's it. Championships, obviously, well, hopefully, come along with that. But I think what we all crave is a consistent winner. And I think one thing that we have really spent a lot of time talking about since the season ended is what positions we want and what star pass rusher do we want to trade for. The offseason in the National Football League isn't some lottery, right? It costs to be the boss, so to speak. Adam Peters and company have a very, very difficult job on their hands, if I'm being open, honest, and transparent about it. They are tasked with turning this group, a group that outkicked their coverage in year one, they are challenged with getting them back to the mountaintop. And I think during Super Bowl week, love listening to G&D because all the different guests they get on their show, B. Mitchell Finley as well. Every former player that you hear come on these airwaves talking about the Commanders, what do they all say? It's hard as hell to get back. It's hard to get back to the top of the mountain. So this offseason, I think we are going to find out exactly who Adam Peters is. And it's been a hot-button discussion, a talking point amongst the fans since the season has ended. How aggressive will he be this offseason? I have long said, when I say long said, I mean since the end of the season, that he kind of showed you and tipped his hand a little bit at the trade deadline in terms of how aggressive he was going to be. They identified a need. They understood where they were as a team, and they went and got him, talking about Marshawn Lattimore and the trade that they made at the deadline. So it's put up or shut up time. And I don't mean to say that harshly, but it kind of is what it is. To me, from a talent evaluation standpoint, it wasn't all home runs hit by Adam Peters in year one. It may be too strong and declarative of a statement to say the jury is still out, but man, it eats at me a little bit as a fan, not having Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey be contributors to this football team when you think about how high they were drafted. Pains me a little bit to know that Johnny Newton didn't participate at all during training camp, wasn't really a factor during the regular season, and then in the postseason wasn't much of a factor. So the draft is uber important. Free agency, uber important. That's why I continue to call it the most pivotal offseason of the rebuild. Logan Paulson to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We get hot and heavy into the Commanders with him. Wizards in action tonight versus the Indiana Pacers, looking to continue their stretch of good play. Not necessarily reflected in W's, but if you've watched this group over the past 5-6 nights, clearly they're playing 100% better. From an effort standpoint, from a synergy standpoint on the offensive end of the floor, they're playing a lot better. And I am as critical of anyone in this market when it comes to the Washington Wizards. So while I dunk on them when things are bad, I give them a round of applause when things are good. Yeah, you had your 3-game win streak snapped. And yeah, you were losers the other night at the hands of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the way this group has continued to play, lost to San Antonio the other night as well. The way this group has played, though, post-trade deadline, and even the 2 games prior to the deadline, is what you want to see. I've said it, and I'll continue to say it till I'm blue in the face. I think everyone understood here locally and at the national level as well. This Wizards team wasn't a group that was going to win a bunch of games this year, but it's about building good habits and kind of, to me, when you bring in veterans like Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, who we haven't seen take the floor yet, we will see them post All-Star break. And to me, it's about identifying who you are. What is Wizards basketball? What is your culture going to be? What is your calling card going to be? And Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Wizards, continues to talk about defense. Well, when you bring in Marcus Smart, it lets me know you're serious about defense. When you draft Alex Saar, number 2 overall, lets me know you're serious about defense. We will see how this group continues to play as we get closer to the All-Star break and then post-All-Star break. But my eyes are wide open when it comes to the Washington Wizards. The young pups playing really good basketball, and post-All-Star break is when that really, to me, is going to ratchet up a little bit. I'm excited to see Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton take the floor for this basketball team. What type of impact will they ultimately have? Speaking of the NBA, we had history. We had history made in the NBA last night by a local legend. We'll spill the tea on that a little bit later on in the show for you. Major League Baseball pitchers and catchers reporting today for the Washington Nationals. Got the chance to listen to Grant Danny earlier today. Toby and Danny doing an excellent job talking Washington Nationals. And it kind of, you know, jogs your memory a little bit. Oof, was not a productive offseason for the Washington Nationals. Folks are upset about the lack of money they spent. And we'll see how competitive this group is. But I know what I think a diehard Nats fan would say to me. Linnell, it's about the young pups. It's about the farm system. It's about if your youngins are going to be able to contribute this year. Seems like that is going to be the case. We saw it at the tail end of last year. Got to run into James Wood at a Wizards game about a month ago. You couldn't pick James Wood out in a group of 100 people in D.C. Just the casualist of dudes wearing his dad jeans, was with his girlfriend. It was awesome to see him out and about. I forget sometimes how young and rich he is. And I know people are probably like, hey, old pocket watch now. But seriously, how young and rich that young brother is. Love, love, love seeing our athletes out and about supporting the other clubs. But I was standing next to James Wood for 3 to 4 minutes before I realized it was James Wood. And the only reason I realized it was James Wood is because someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, that's James Wood. Talk a little bit of Nats a little bit later on in the program. But the NFL offseason, as we've mentioned numerous times with the Commanders, is in full swing. We found out yesterday Kellen Moore officially hired as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. I have continued to repeat this. I don't know if there's ever been a worse opening in the NFL over the last 5 years than the New Orleans Saints job. I don't see any scenario in which New Orleans is good next year. And I understand Kellen Moore has had, you know, his fair share of success with the quarterback position. And obviously, if you're able to strike gold at that spot, everything else from a team-building standpoint becomes a hell of a lot easier. But woo-wee! Kellen Moore and the powers that be in New Orleans have their hands full. The only thing that Kellen Moore has going for him, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, I promise. The only thing Kellen Moore has going for him is he was the last head coach hired in this hiring cycle. And you all are probably saying, what the hell does that mean, Linnell? What does it mean? When you look at the last 5 seasons, the last coach hired in each cycle has actually had some pretty decent success. 2020, Kevin Stefanski, the last coach hired in that hiring cycle, he is now on his last leg with the Cleveland Browns potentially. No fault of his own, I might add. I don't blame Kevin Stefanski for what has gone wrong in Cleveland, but if you're Kellen Moore, knowing what you know currently about that Saints job, would you be upset if your tenure ended up like Kevin Stefanski's? How could you? How could you? Now, David Culley, hired in 2021, and I actually got to Google David Culley. I'm pretty sure that was the head coach of the Houston Texans that ended up being one and done, so that's not good. But 2022, last head coach hired in the cycle was the reigning defending NFL coach of the year, Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Vikings. You go back to 2023, Shane Steichen was the last coach hired, him and Jonathan Gannon. Shane Steichen's done a pretty decent job in Indianapolis. Jonathan Gannon, after we laughed him out of the building on Hard Knocks, has actually turned the Cardinals into a respectable professional product. And then last year, how could we forget about the success of last year's final head coach hired in the cycle, Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders? So, Kellen, if you're looking for any type of light at the end of the tunnel, you were the last head coach hired, and the track record of those guys, pretty darn good. In all reality, Saints are probably going to stink this year. Do I see New Orleans and their front office going one and done with Kellen Moore? I don't know. But according to our own Grant Paulson, they didn't even want Kellen Moore. They wanted Cliff Kingsbury. He refused to sign on the dotted line. So we'll see what happens in New Orleans with Kellen Moore. But it gets us and segues us perfectly back into the Commanders. A pivotal offseason coming up. We'll look at this Commanders offseason with our pal Logan Paulson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I wanted to hit on some key dates here in the NFL offseason calendar as we slowly but surely are going to be fully submersed in offseason talk for the next several months. February 18th is our next important date. That's next week. I know some of you are like, whoa. See, this is the difference, right? This year, and I would love to ask, you know, Danny and Grant and B-Mitch and JP, the Junks, this question. Does it feel any differently this time around doing your off-season radio shtick because the off-season started so late for us? Normally, we're 3 weeks into this bad boy already, talking coaches, talking draft. This is a lot different. So February 18th, the first key date, or the next key date, rather, on the NFL offseason calendar, the franchise tag window officially opens. Why is that important to the Washington Commanders? There are several marquee free agents out there that some of you all think are going to be available to Washington, and then teams get the opportunity to say, no, you don't. I'm franchise tagging him. We own his rights for the next year. So we will get some answers on some of the top free agents in the National Football League and whether or not they'll even be a free agent coming up next week when that window opens up for teams to be able to franchise tag their guys, some franchise tag candidates throughout the National Football League. Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle in Baltimore. I look at Trey Smith, the offensive guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. He may end up getting a franchise tag. Sam Darnold in Minnesota, maybe a guy that gets franchise tagged. I see a lot of folks on social media clamoring for Washington to, why don't we just go take Josh Sweat from the Eagles? Not that easy. 8.5 sacks, their leading sack getter this year. I would have to think he is a super, super strong candidate to receive the franchise tag from Philadelphia, so maybe he is not on the board anymore for you. Zach Bond, Philly's free agent linebacker that really burst onto the scene this year, he is someone Washington probably will be interested in. Does he get the franchise tag? So next week, mark your calendars. February the 18th, teams officially able to start franchise tagging their guys. Some other key dates, the 24th through the 3rd is the NFL Combine. March 4th, the franchise tag window closes. March 10th through the 12th is the legal tampering period in the NFL. And then on March 12th, the league year officially opens up. And as we've continued to say, man, it is going to be a event-filled offseason for the Washington Commanders. One way or another. And like I said, I think I said this last week, not every move that Adam Peters and company make is going to appease everyone. Right? You can't, what do they got, 26 unrestricted free agents? You can't bring everyone back. And I think that's what I'm kind of trying to prep the general public for. Before you all get your pitchforks out and you start writing nasty letters over to the practice facility in Ashburn, understand, right, that Adam Peters is one man. And this is one offseason. They can't fill every hole this offseason. I don't think they can, at least, because there's a lot of them. But also understand, what was my slogan last offseason? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Point blank, period. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Keep that in the front of your brain as decisions are made this time around in the offseason. Because let's just be real here. Like I said, there are a ton of tough decisions to be made, and not all of the decisions that are made you're going to agree with. Point blank, period. I mentioned the offseason calendar. Another piece of that offseason calendar is a big date that we all care about. April 24th through the 26th, the NFL draft, and Washington owns currently the number 29 overall pick. Field Yates of ESPN put out a mock draft yesterday, and at pick number 29, he went with Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State. He drafted him, or mocked him rather, to the Washington Commanders, and I will be real here. I am a huge Emeka Egbuka fan. I think everything he does well, right? Everything he does well, Washington needs. I know you all feel like, based on the calls we take, based on some of the tweets I get from you all, finding a complimentary wide receiver is paramount this offseason. I get it. What we'll discuss throughout the show tonight is that there's more than one way to get it. And Emeka Egbuka, drafting one in round one, is one way to do it. 205 catches. Most catches in school history over at wide receiver U, talking about Ohio State. Most scouts, you know, describe him as like the most ready-made prospect. He was a guy that folks thought was going to leave last year, but ultimately chose to stay in school for another year. Here is the thing that I like the most about him as a fit in this offense. What was the slogan of the wide receiver room? Maybe I'm asking you a question that you're not privy to. Well, it's rhetorical anyway, so ha. Dyami Brown told me back in August when talking about how he was going to carve out his role, how he was going to be a consistent contributor. No block, no rock. If Washington goes with Emeka Egbuka, he understands it. Reliable hands, selfless as a blocker, physical in the run game. He is the type of wide receiver that I'd be interested in if I was the Washington Commanders. The only problem is I'm not so sure that addressing wide receiver in the draft is the best way to go. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. A lot more to get to coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on the big offseason coming up for the Washington Commanders. We'll also keep you up to speed on the latest with Wizards basketball tonight. They're at home playing host to the Indiana Pacers. You can hear that over on our sister station, the Team 980. I'll keep you up to speed all night. We'll take our first time out of the evening. When we come back, I'll tell you what I think should be the number one priority for the Commanders entering free agency. Pay close attention here now. Free agency and the draft, two different big-time opportunities for this team to add talent. What should be the Commanders' number one priority heading into free agency? My thoughts on that next. Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot to get to over the next 3 hours. A pal, Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour for a little off-season primer for the Washington Commanders. Got the chance to talk to Logan for about 45 to an hour earlier today. We'll play you part one of that conversation coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. This is, to me, and if you've listened to me since the season ended, I have been very consistent with my messaging on this. I feel like, argue with somebody you love, not me. No matter how you slice it, this, to me, is the most pivotal offseason of this Washington Commanders rebuild. And Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the front office, the scouts, they have their work cut out for them. They have a lot of holes, but they've got the biggest one addressed. How you capitalize and respond off of last year's success is all anyone will remember. If it's October of next year and we're sitting there at 3-6, you think anyone's going to give a rat's ass that we made it to the NFC Championship game? That is why I continue to dub this the most pivotal offseason of the rebuild. It's about striking while the iron is hot. You got to capitalize. You got to capitalize. We'll ask Logan Paulson in the 8 o'clock hour how he thinks the Commanders will end up capitalizing on their success. I mentioned to start the show, Field Yates of ESPN put out a mock draft on Monday, fresh off of the Super Bowl being wrapped up. And really, as I like to call it, you know, closing the book, so to speak, on the 2024 season. And in that mock draft, he mocked Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Egbuka to the Washington Commanders at 29 overall. Not a bad player. And fills a position of major need for Washington. I think we all know it. Wide receiver is something that has to be addressed. Where I think we'll kind of differ here as the night rolls on, and quite frankly, as the offseason rolls on, is how they ultimately address the wide receiver position. Because relative to, or despite what all of you think, it is not one size fits all when it comes to addressing and filling these needs that Washington has. I don't think anybody out there believes that. I hope not. But Field Yates mocking Emeka Egbuka to Washington, I like the player, right? Fits what you want to do. I just don't know if 29 is where I would address wide receiver. See, the beautiful thing about the NFL offseason is free agency comes before the draft. And I like it. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier, and they said, well, bruh, I'd rather the draft come before free agency, so whatever you don't hit on in the draft, you can recoup in free agency. I think that is the thought process of the NFL when they put the offseason calendar together. I think what he said is true. What you don't, or what he said is true, and what I say is true as well. What you aren't able to address in free agency, the draft is right there, flush with players. Most teams or all teams are allotted 7 picks. Some teams have more or less based on prior moves. And then the litany of UDFAs you could bring in. Talk about undrafted free agents. So I love the offseason structure. Field Yates, though, mocking a wide receiver to Washington at 29. I'll be real with you here, right? If Washington drafted a wide receiver at 29 overall, I'd probably have an issue with it. Linnell having an issue with a pick? No. You get what I'm saying, though? Y'all know how I get down. I'm going to keep it as real as anybody on here. I would have an issue if they selected a wide receiver at 29 overall. Here's my thought process on this, right? I continue to believe that wide receiver is a position that traditionally, right, in normal years, I would say, well, wide receiver grows on trees. Don't pay one in free agency. Go draft one. That's normally the way that I would go. But when you look at the strength of this draft, I think wasting a pick on wide receiver at 29 is just not smart. The draft, to me, should be about the trenches. Can you add an edge rusher? Can you add an impact defensive tackle? Can you add an offensive tackle? Can you add a guard? That, to me, is what the draft should be about, which segues us into the question perfectly here. 1-800-636-1067. What should be the Commander's top priority entering free agency? Mind you, like I said, free agency, well ahead of the draft. Entering free agency, what should be Washington's top priority? I can't believe I'm saying this. Their top priority, from my vantage point, should be addressing wide receiver, addressing corner, and then adding a rotational slash fringe starter at the edge rush slash defensive tackle spot. That, to me, is where the bulk of my cash would go via free agency. Not $30 million per on T. Higgins, right? That's not a lifestyle I'm comfortable living. You pick up what I'm putting down, it's not how I would move. If I am Washington, their top priority entering free agency should be addressing wide out, adding a corner, and then a rotational piece up front. Now, if you could get a starter up front, I'd love it. That's where I'm saying maybe 29 is where you get that starter. But let's just talk wide receiver here specifically for a second. Because Dan Graziano of ESPN has come out in several different insider pieces over the past couple of weeks and said, hey, look, based on the tea leaves that I'm reading, right, Washington is going to be aggressive in trying to acquire a number two wide receiver to go next to Terry McLaurin. Washington will be aggressive in trying to acquire that guy. Okay. Take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, Dan knows what he's talking about. He's getting that info from somebody inside of the building. I hope that somebody was lying his ass off. I hope they were lying through their teeth. Because here's my thing. There's levels to being aggressive, I would say. It's the best way that I could put it. I do fully expect them to address wide receiver via free agency, but I don't think they do it in the manner that you all are wishing for. And I think what that is, you all are hoping that, hey, Washington could pony up the money to give $30-plus million annually to a T. Higgins. See, I'm not a guy that subscribes to that. You know, some of you want to pony up big-time money to go give to Chris Godwin, the free agent from Tampa. That, to me, is just not the way this group should go. When it comes to addressing wide receiver and free agency, I'm not going to – here's the best way that I could describe it. Is Adam Peters going to be shopping at Neiman's? Or is he going to the thrift store? You pick up what I'm putting down here? Is Adam Peters stepping in red bottoms? Or is he wearing a pair of New Balances this offseason? We're going to find out right away what the mentality is. And I continue to believe the trade deadline gave you a little bit of insight in terms of what the mentality is going to be. They were aggressive at the deadline going out and getting a Marshon Lattimore. So I expect them to be aggressive in free agency, just not the way you all expect them to be aggressive. See, aggressive to me doesn't mean going out and spending $30 million per on T. Higgins. Aggressive could be similarly to how they signed last year's crop. One-year deals, two-year deals, but a litany of different guys. When I look at the wide receiver spot and how they could potentially address it via free agency, there are a couple of guys that come to mind. I look at, first of all, Brandon Cooks in Dallas as someone that I think could serve as a legit number two to Terry, and he's not going to have to break the bank to get him. I know you all are probably thinking, well, damn, do I want often injured Brandon Cooks? Bear with me here. Robert Woods in Houston, somebody that I would go after. But my number one free agent target at wideout, and maybe this is not sexy and popular amongst the fans, but my number one free agent target at wide receiver would come from within the division, Darius Slayton of the New York Giants. To me, Darius Slayton, and here on ESPN, they project him to get a Darnell Mooney type of contract. And last year, Mooney signed for 3 years, $39 million. I'm okay with giving Darius Slayton, you know, 11 per, 10 per, 12 per. He's a guy that has had production. And he has the top-end speed on the perimeter that I think could really be an added benefit to this Commanders offense. Now, he's coming off a little bit of a down year, right? And can you blame it? First of all, can you blame somebody for having a damn down year in New York playing wide receiver, right? Just 39 receptions, 573 yards, and two touchdowns for Darius Slayton. But we've seen it here in Washington. He is capable of giving you production. And over the last couple of years, going back to 2022, hadn't missed a lot of games. He's durable. And at 28 years old, is a guy that, hey, I'd be willing to take a serious flyer on. I'd be willing to consider bringing him in and putting him opposite of Terry McLaurin. That would be something that would be on my mind. And it's the way that I'm leaning right now, if I'm being honest with you. To me, Darius Slayton represents the type of wide receiver Washington should be looking to bring in. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, your calls on what Washington's top priority should be as we get geared up for free agency. And also, we'll let you hear from Logan Paulson, who gave his thoughts on the priority free agent that Washington should be trying to bring back from in-house. That's next on The Fan. The number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. It's the youngest of Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Taking your calls right now on what should the Commanders be prioritizing when they enter free agency. I pointed out some key offseason dates for you all. Free agency comes first in the chronological order of the offseason. It's free agency and then the draft. As we get geared up for free agency, the legal tampering period begins on March the 10th. So 1 month from now is when that legal tampering period opens. The league year officially starts March 12th, so exactly 1 month to the day. What should the Commanders be prioritizing as they enter free agency. I continue to believe that the offseason should go this way. In free agency, I'm addressing wide receiver. I gave you all a name that I'm really high on. I would be targeting Darius Slayton to be my number two. I think Darius Slayton could be a legit number two in the National Football League. I also think that wide receiver is the way that they should go in free agency, but maybe not the way you all think. You'd be hard-pressed to get me to give T. Higgins $30 million per. It's just a lot of money to have tied up at the wide receiver position. It just is. And I think there are other pressing needs on this football team. I think there are other pressing needs on this football team. And I am such a believer in Daniels at quarterback that I feel like, hey, when you look at the top signal callers across the league, right, how many have two number one bona fide wide receivers? Josh Allen doesn't. Pat Mahomes doesn't. Lamar doesn't. Burrow does, but you see how that's about to end. So I continue to believe that Jaden is one of those quarterbacks that elevates everyone around him. Case in point this year, Alameda Zacchaeus, love you, brother. Career year here playing with JD5. Jamison Crowder getting schemed open and turned into a playmaker. Why? Because you got a quarterback back there that makes everybody better. So when I look at the wide receiver position and how they address it this offseason, I don't know if I would be, you know, lining up to pay T. Higgins $30 million, or even a guy like Chris Godwin from Tampa Bay. I don't know if I'd be lining up to pay Chris Godwin big-time money. How I think they should address wideout is you get a couple of bargain bin guys in free agency, and I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say bargain bin guys. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm talking about maybe lesser-known names, right? I'm bringing back Noah Brown first and foremost. Like, he would be a guy that I try to bring back. You add Noah Brown, Darius Slayton, maybe you're able to get Alameda Zacchaeus back. But names of that ilk to me is what I'd be after, right? Like maybe a Mac Collins would interest me coming here. By the way, Mac is a local DMV guy. We had the same barber for years. So maybe Mac Collins, albeit 31, but has that type of body type where he's going to be willing to come in here and block. And I know he can push the field and stretch it vertically as a receiver. I feel like those are the type of names that Washington should be going after here. And there are other names on this list that get me going as well. Like Rondale Moore would be somebody that's interesting to me. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who I thought had a really strong year in Tennessee this year with the Titans, he would interest me. I'm not saying they come in and they're automatically your number two, but like we know how it goes here. Competition rules. And here's the thing about the draft. I wouldn't draft one at 29, but maybe 6th round, 7th round, you're able to find you a wide receiver that you think and identify can come in here and compete. That to me is what it's about. The other name I'd be interested in, depending on what the cost was, if it didn't take me or cost me a bunch to acquire this wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, to me, is somebody that I would be all over. He fits the profile of what Washington's looking for at wide receiver, especially if you aren't able to re-up with Zach Ertz. I think Cooper Kupp is perfect for you, a guy that's going to win in those one-on-one situations on third down, your chain mover, your red zone guy. And then this is what I love about Cooper Kupp. He blocks his ass off in the running game. Max effort guy, culture guy, perfect. So, like, that's how I would be addressing wide receiver. Not going out and paying T. Higgins top-of-the-market money. Not going out and paying Chris Godwin top-of-the-market money. And then the thing that I go back to with those guys, and I know Deebo Samuel, another name that was brought up, Deebo would interest me if they had a specific niche role for him. But let's just be real about Deebo, T. Higgins. They're on the injury report too much, man. They're on the injury report too much for my liking. So I don't know how comfortable I would be giving up that type of money. But the phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Free agency, the legal tampering period, opens up on March the 10th. That's in about 3 weeks. What should the Commanders' top priority be entering free agency? I say wide receiver, corner, and then I'm looking at edge and defensive tackle in this spot as well. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Drew is in Rockville. Drew, what should be the Commanders' top priority entering free agency?
Well, when I called a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think you're just having the same conversation. Mm-hmm. We're talking about edge. So for me, it's still edge.
But Drew, let me cut you off for a second because maybe you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. See, this is why it's not edge for me. Edge rushers don't grow on trees. What edge rusher of impact are you going out and getting in free agency that's going to be worth a
damn? Okay, I got you.
Khalil Mack is probably the only guy within reason.
Yeah, and I have to scratch. I have to scratch Garrett off the board because that would be more so in a trade. So let me get off of that. So going based on your questioning, yes, wide receiver.
Okay.
So I do agree with you on Slayton. I also see Marquise Brown floating around here too, free agent.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So the thing about Hollywood Brown is I don't know. I feel like Kansas City's going to find a way to keep him there, especially when you consider how his first year there went. But I hear you. I'll be interested.
Yes. Yes. And with Slayton, he's had his injury histories, but you're not paying that much bread for him.
For sure, exactly.
So,
and over the last 3 years, Drew, he's only missed three games. So the injury history was kind of earlier in his career. He's gotten healthy here over the past few years in New York.
Yeah. I would not have him exactly as the number two cemented
for sure.
In.
Yes.
I still draft a wide receiver in that fourth, fifth, sixth round. For me at 29, that's where I go, kind of my edge rusher. Mm-hmm. I like Pierce from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of go that route. And I think they do go defense at 29, for sure. I believe that for sure.
It's going to be fascinating to see, Drew. I appreciate you tapping in as always, brother, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Drew brings up a good point because, yeah, look, Darius Slayton, to me, I would bring him in, but it's not like I'm saying, here, Slayton, you're the number two. You got to earn it. I know how I feel about competition. I want the cleaning ladies in the building competing for who's got the cleanest floor in the Ashburn facility. I want the chefs competing for who's got the tenderest steak. I want competition everywhere. So don't think because I want to bring in Darius Slayton that I'm just handing him the keys to the number two wide receiver job. No, he's someone I would bring in for good competition. Good competition is what I call that. It would be a guy like Slayton, Noah Brown I'm bringing back, depending on how much Diami cost you. He could be a part of that rotation. Another free agent wide receiver name that I'm curious to get you all's thoughts on, and I know this is going to sound like, does he fit culturally? Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs going into year number 10. Depending on what type of contract he is going to command, maybe if you can get Diggs on a one-year prove-it deal, I'd be all for bringing Stephon Diggs here. But what I don't need is the Stephon Diggs that acts like a diva when he doesn't get the football. We understand what type of culture we're fostering right now in Ashburn, here with the Commanders, and I don't know if he fits, but from a talent perspective, I'd be all in. 1-800-636-1067. Free agency opens up in about 3 weeks, 1 month to the day. What should the Commanders' top priority be as we get geared up for free agency? I say wide receiver, corner, and then I'm hitting the D-line. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Jaime is in Manassas. What's going on, Jaime?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I agree with you with a wide receiver position, but I would like to address it in the draft. I think in the second round we can get a very good receiver, but we need somebody who is physical and has some size to him.
Yeah.
And I think we can get another complimentary receiver like Tyler Lockett, who is in the last year of his contract with the Seahawks. No longer the number two with the Seahawks, with Seattle. Maybe a Christian Kirk, who is no longer number one with the Jaguars.
You're talking about trading for guys. See, the only thing about trading for guys, Jaime, is like our current draft capital isn't – we're not flush with picks here.
But why do you have to give up for Tyler Lockett? Are you kidding me?
You're right. It may not be something. You're right. I hear if the price is low enough, I'm all for it.
Yeah, but I think we need a veteran. We don't need to try other teams for receivers in our receiver corps. Enough with the Zacharias. Enough with the Noah Browns. Maybe Noah Brown has the potential. He can still work and get in the mix. But we need to provide him with weapons.
Yeah.
Look at what the Detroit Lions are doing. They had Sam Brown, and then they drafted Jameson Williams. They drafted Gibbs. They still getting playmakers.
But here's the thing, Jaime. Look at how they acquired those guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a third-round pick that turned into somebody. I'm just not for going out and paying somebody big money.
I know what you're saying, but they had a first a number one receiver already. They picked Jameson Williams.
Right.
So in the I think it was in the late first round.
You don't. And so, let's be real though, Jaime. You don't think the Lions are having drafters remorse on Jameson Williams? Come on, brother.
It could be. But they keep trying.
They keep trying. Yes, sir.
He needs playmakers, and you know, to be able to compete with the Eagles of the world and the Detroit Lions and the Vikings that might get better and the Rams that I'm looking up that John defense is playing very well.
Yeah.
We need playmakers, man. We need to help this kid. Yeah,
for sure. Appreciate the call as always, Jaime. 1-800-636-1067. Your calls on what the Commanders' top priority should be as we're 1 month out from the start of free agency. That's next here on The Fan. +1 800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Wednesday night edition of OT. Riding with the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We get his thoughts on what we're asking you. What should the Commanders' top priority be as they get geared up for free agency? 1 month from today, which is crazy. If you were listening at the top of the show, I told you, we're not used to around here the offseason going this quickly because it normally doesn't start this late. Washington obviously punching their ticket to the NFC Championship. So things have changed a little bit in our nation's capital. But free agency is 1 month away. 1 month away from the start of free agency as we get geared up for that big, massive date on the NFL offseason calendar. What should the Commanders be prioritizing as they get geared up to start spending a little bit of change? And I continue to feel like, look, I have the blueprint. I laugh as I say it. I got the blueprint, though, man. I got the answer, Sway, in terms of how Washington could knock this offseason out of the park. And it starts in free agency. But I'm not going out and giving T. Higgins $30 million per. I'm not going out and giving Chris Godwin $27 million per. Not moving that way. Just not. To me, when it comes to free agency, Washington, specifically at wide receiver, could go after a bunch of different guys and let them come in here and compete. I think we showed you last year, we don't need top-end wide receivers. You got a legit, bona fide wide receiver one, a top seven guy in the NFL at this position. Maybe top five, for real, for real. How many teams with elite quarterbacks like Washington has with Jaden, how many teams with elite quarterbacks have two bona fide number ones? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So for all of you out there that want T. Higgins, look at Josh Allen in Buffalo. Look at Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Look at Pat Mahomes in KC. Are they rolling with top-end wide receiver talent? No. Because they have quarterbacks like we do here in D.C., that elevates everyone around them. Me and Danny Ruye had a very interesting conversation. I think it was last week. Danny was like, yeah, I agree with you, Linnell, but you need that top end number two against the Pittsburgh, for example, this year, against the Philadelphia. And I'm like, Yeah, you do, but you don't, because you beat Philly without a high-end number two. If you don't turn the ball over five times in the NFC Championship game, we don't know how we're looking at this group. So I continue to believe bargain bin shopping at wide receiver is what I do. I used the analogy earlier. If you're Adam Peters, when it comes to wide receiver, I'm going to Fashion Nova. I'm going to H&M. I'm not shopping at Neiman Marcus. I'm not. I'm not shopping at Saks Fifth. I'm not going to Nordstrom Rack when it comes to the wide receiver position. Take me right up the street. Take me to Farmon Mills. You take me there. Because of the quarterback that I have, I don't need to go spend big a wide receiver. That's just my thought process. At cornerback, that's maybe where I spend big in free agency. Because I look at a guy, I got my eyes on Charvarius Ward of the San Francisco 49ers. Can be 29, entering next year. A guy that Adam Peters drafted while in San Fran. There's familiarity there. He wants to get out of there. So that would be a dude that I look at and say, yep, I break the bank for him. And when I say break the bank, I do mean break the bank. Corner, Byron Murphy, another guy out in Minnesota, going to be 27 by the time next year starts. He would be somebody in free agency I go out and spend money on. But when it comes to wide receiver, that's not how I'm moving. Edge rusher, I would address or try to address some depth pieces in free agency. Now, your starting edge may not come via free agency. Hopefully, that's at number 29. But the name that I keep bringing up that you all roll your eyes at, I'd give Chase Young a look at edge rusher on a one-year prove-it deal. I would look at a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence on a one-year prove-it deal. It's not like you're breaking the bank for these guys. It's not like it's someone that comes in here and throws off the camaraderie of your organization. DeMarcus Lawrence may be somebody that gets brought in. We don't know. Enough of me blabbing, though. Back out to you. MGM National Harbor Lister Lines, 1-800-636-1067. Free agency opens up in 1 month. What should be the Commanders' top priority in free agency? James is in Woodbridge. What's up, James?
Yo, Linnell, what's going on, youngest? And Charles,
what's going on, brother?
Big homie.
How you doing?
Hey, listen, man, I got to disagree with you respectfully. But ain't no way in hell you letting T. Higgins go off the market without taking a shot at him. The name of the game is bringing in some top talent. T. Higgins, you can see it's night and day what that Cincinnati team looked like when the boy was healthy and when the boy was on the field. Now, he made Jamar Chase's life easier. Not saying Jamar Chase wasn't a dog and doing his thing, but T. Higgins could be number one on that team any day he wanted to. So bringing in a T. Higgins make Terry your number two, and that's going to make y'all lights out because
whoa, 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 whoa Kevin James.
Yes.
Love you, brother, but you tripping.
Do not discount him. But let me say this. Mm-hmm. You think of defense when you should be thinking offense. You need a running back that has some speed, bro. I'm not saying Austin ain't great. He's a great back out the backfield. For and sure. I'm not saying Brian Robinson ain't a pounder. But when you look at what the running back position needs, what Jaden needs is a Jahmyr Gibbs type, someone who's a hybrid, a Bijan.
Are you going to find that in free agency, though? That's my thing with some of y'all thought process when it comes to free agency. Do you realize good players don't make it to free agency?
I'm not saying that you find those in free agency, though.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is the wide receiver is free agency. That's where you spend the money. O-line and wide receiver is where you spend the money. Running back and D-line is where you draft.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make them beast mode next year. Salute to the youngest in charge.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate you as always, brother. That's interesting. So I get what James is saying. First of all, the one thing I do strongly disagree with, I can't put Terry and T in the same category. Terry, a different type of dog, man. He just is. But offensive line, I know I guess I didn't really put that at the top of the list, but to me, here's how I feel about going out and paying offensive linemen in free agency. My whole thing is, one, if they get there, why at a position that's so hard to come by, elite talent, why would a team let a good offensive lineman hit free agency? So I always got major question marks whenever an O-lineman hits free agency, but this is not a bad class in terms of guys that, you know, maybe you're willing to take a flyer on. Our old pal Morgan Moses is somebody that I'd be interested in, potentially a tackle. I look at James Daniels at guard in Pittsburgh would be somebody that I'm interested in. Cam Robinson, potentially at left tackle. It gets interesting. But the major question is, as we sit here 1 month out from the start of free agency, what should be Washington's priority as they get ready to spend that money? Mike is in Fredericksburg. So, Mike. Mike.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm a big 49ers fan. But I followed the Cardiac Commanders this season. And what I think y'all need to do is stay on the track that the 49ers have been on. So if Debo goes anywhere, I want him to go to y'all. I don't necessarily want him to leave.
Right, of course. But if he does leave, you're saying you want him in D.C.?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I live right outside D.C. I still root for you guys if you guys aren't playing my 49ers. But I think your biggest worries are you should probably be going after Miles Garrett.
Yeah, but that's not free agency, Mike. We're talking about free agency. Who would you be trying to acquire via free agency? Someone that's not under contract. What position? That's the question. 1-800-636-1067. Ray is in Clinton. What's up, Ray?
What's up, man? How y'all? How you doing this evening?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
All right. Free agent only. I'm going to tell you the three players I go after free agency. I'm going to pluck that boy Milton Williams from Philly. I'm going to pluck
You know what, Ray? I'm glad you brought Big Milton up, man, because I feel like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis get all the flowers in terms of dudes that make it go up there. Milton is just a big problem.
That boy good, man. And he only 26.
He's only 26. Only 26.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my second, look, I've been a football fan all my life. Mm-hmm. I'm 63 years old, you're gonna be 64. I've been a Redskins fan ever since I was 3. But let me tell you this, man. I always said you build your defense through free agency, and if you're lucky, you can get them through the draft. But if you're picking that low, you're not going to get these type of players in there, so you can spend your money that you got.
Right.
My second player I'm going to get, I don't care how you feel about Ward, I'm going to get the corner that they wanted to get before they got Lattimore.
You're talking about DJ Reed.
They wanted to get DJ Reed from the Jets, yeah. But the Jets wouldn't let him go because they're hurting their corner. So they weren't going to let him go, but they ain't got no choice now. Now, my third player I'm going to get is the boy from boy from the Giants?
Talking about Slayton?
No.
Who are you talking about?
The outside linebacker
from the Giants. Outside linebacker from the Giants in free agency. I'm not familiar with who you're talking about.
I'm going to tell you his name in a few minutes. Give me a few seconds. I mean a few minutes.
If we're talking linebackers via free agency, there's one that I got off the top of my list. Nick Bolton in Kansas City would be the guy I throw a boatload of money at to come play linebacker here. That would be my guy at linebacker. The only thing I would say, man, and we appreciate your call as always, brother. The only thing I would say, Ray, about going linebacker in free agency, one, I think Bobby Wagner is going to be back. They're really high internally on Jordan McGee. They are high internally on Jordan McGee. So I feel like, hey, they're probably, you know, going to try and, you know, begin to phase Bobby out. And I tread lightly when I say phase him out because he played 98% of the snaps last year. My question is, if Bobby Wagner got hurt last year, who the hell was going to wear the green dot? When your green dot guy is playing 98% of the snaps, when Bobby's not wearing the green dot, who would it be? And that's my question moving forward with linebacker. But phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Free agency opens up in 1 month. for the Washington Commanders? What should be their priority entering free agency? I gave you positions. Let's give you a couple players here as well on the way out as we get geared up for the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I told you wide receiver. I gave you some names there. Corner is the other spot that I mentioned. And that's why we gave you the dates on the offseason calendar to start the show. It's not a guarantee that every corner listed will be available because the franchise tag is a real possibility for some of these guys. But I look at Charvarius Ward out in San Francisco, somebody that was making $13 million annually on his last deal. He's somebody that I think would come out and be a guy that you could sign. I look at, and he's probably going to command, this is via SpotTrack. He's probably going to command $15 million annually. I'm willing to pay that because I know what Charvarius is. And here's the other thing. If you bring in Charvarius Ward, who's to say, line one, Chris, who's to say that you don't cut Marshawn Lattimore? Now, I'm not cutting him until I'm solidified at the position. So this would be something where it's like, oh, it's the same guy. I didn't realize that. This would be something that I do towards the end of camp as we get geared up for the preseason and the start of the regular season. But, like, he's got no more guaranteed money left on his deal. So if you're able to bolster your corner spot, maybe they do get off of him. Y'all know how I feel about this, though. I think you have to give him more time based off of when you acquired him, how you acquired him. But DJ Reed, as the last caller mentioned, a guy that'll be available. If you're looking to go the veteran route, I look at Rasul Douglas out in Buffalo as somebody that gave that group really good play last year. I would bring back Noah Igbinoghene. He is somebody that I would definitely be, you know, motivated to bring back just because I thought he played well and starred in his role, so to speak. That's the best way that I could put it. He starred in his role last year, and you kind of saw what he could be. He would be my ideal fourth corner for this team. That's some guys I bring in at corner. The edge rusher defensive tackle spot, things get interesting. DeMarcus Lawrence, somebody I consider. Like I said, Chase Young, somebody that I would consider. I look at, I mean, Cleveland Farrell was a guy that was already here. That's my thing. For all of the folks that roll their eyes at Chase Young, the team signed Cleveland Farrell this offseason. Is it about talent or is it about your personal feelings? That's what I want to get to the bottom of with a lot of folks when it comes to that certain somebody. But I think at defensive end, the type of guy that you're looking for straight up doesn't exist in free agency, right? The best defensive lineman in free agency to me is Josh Sweat of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's probably, this is via SpotTrack, his projected contract, he's projected to get $18 million annually. I'm okay paying him $18 million annually. It's similar to a contract of Jonathan Grenard, Brian Burns, to name a few. Like, that to me would be the guy I go after, but I just have a hard time believing Philadelphia's going to let him hit the open market. So he would be off the board for me. I mean, I obviously, if they don't franchise tag him, you pay Josh Sweat, I don't want to say a blank check, but he fills that void of being the three-down end that sets a strong edge, can give you pass rush juice. He would be that guy for me. Defensive tackle is where it gets interesting. Javon Kinlaw, someone that was drafted by Adam Peters and company in San Fran, is a free agent. He is somebody I would for damn sure be looking to bring in. Some other guy, Kevin Givens, he's a free agent from San Francisco. I'll obviously you circle those guys because of the familiarity with Adam Peters and company. But, like, you need a defensive tackle that's got some girth to him. Milton Williams, another Milton Williams from Philly. I know Milton Williams didn't get a franchise tag. Let me just say that. But if they aren't able to re-sign Milton Williams, hey, come up 95, brother, man. I would for sure be in on a guy like Milton Williams. Here's the sexy popular name that people keep bringing up at the defensive tackle spot that's got some familiarity with Dan Quinn. Osa Odighizuwa. Who? Right. Osa Odighizuwa of the Dallas Cowboys, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, is somebody that I think Washington should be interested in bringing in. He had 30 pressures this past year, tied with Quinnen Williams for the second most amongst defensive tackles. He is probably a three technique. I don't know if he fills the bill as a run stopper the way Washington needs to. 6'2", 280, not somebody that has a whole lot of girth and size to him. But we'll see ultimately the way Washington decides to go as we are 1 month out from the start of free agency. Speaking of free agency, I mentioned I got to sit down with my guy Logan Paulson. When we come back, get my thoughts as well as Logan's on the free agent that Washington should prioritize bringing back. As we all know, Washington, 20-plus free agents going in to this offseason. Who should they prioritize bringing back? Give you my thoughts on that next.